Well, good morning. It's good to have each and every one of you here this morning, and everyone up there in the balcony, you'll have halos, so you look really nice up there. We do have sermon notes if you want to follow along for your visitors, and if you happen to miss a blank or I miss a blank, at the end, they're in a box on page two, so that I know some people are pretty serious about getting all the blanks in, Today, of course, is going to be about Jesus, our risen King. And a couple weeks ago, the Lord just impressed upon me a slightly different approach or message in relation to Easter. But I'm excited about what God is doing in us, in me, and around the world. At Buchanan Alliance Church, as we love Grive Grow, we strive to walk in intimacy with God. If you haven't discovered yet that walking in intimacy with God is the reason for your existence, you're missing out on the best thing in all of life. You're just missing out on it. Jesus came, lived a life, died on the cross so that we could live an abundant life. And the abundant life is actually living it with Him, intimacy with Him, walking day by day in intimacy with Him. That is the abundant life. That is the abundant life. And it took me years and years to discover that. I was so busy doing for Him as a pastor that I neglected intimacy with Him. And He came to give us an abundant life. And that's what we want here. We want to walk in intimacy with God, and we want to be inviting others to do the same. Because if you find the best thing in life out, don't you want to tell your friends about it? Hey, if brownies, gooey brownies, cook 19 minutes with briars, vanilla ice cream, and Hershey's chocolate on top is the best thing in the world, I want others to know about it too. It is 19 minutes, by the way. Pillsbury, 19 minutes, nice and gooey. That's the way they ought to be. Also, if you know Jesus Christ, here's a verse from the Old Testament that just further drills this home. If you know Jesus Christ, if you have repented and asked Him into the heart. This is true. The Lord your God is with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Ever since I've been here, I just want to emphasize this. God not only loves you, He likes you. And let's face it, you don't even like yourself sometimes. Amen? He not only loves you, He likes you. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. 2 weeks ago, on my birthday, I went out to Aldrich State Park, and I go there every once in a while, and it was that day of the snowstorm. You probably hated it. I loved it. God gave us that snowstorm just for me, because I went out in it, and I went to Aldrich, and I'm tromping through the snow. The only person there, every sane person was somewhere else, but I was there, and He quieted me with His love. The snow was coming down. I didn't hear His voice, but I sensed His presence. He just quieted me with His love. It was amazing. And if you know Him, He wants to do that with you every day as well. He will rejoice over you with singing. Your love that much. Again, if you know Jesus, the Lord your God, He's with you. You're never alone. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's the truth. That's the truth. And that's the gospel in a nutshell right there from an Old Testament prophet. Well, today we're going to focus on Jesus, our risen King. The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. Every other world leader, religious leader, there's someone in the tomb. Jesus' tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. By the way, that purple and underline means there's a blank in your notes. If you're following that, that means there's a blank there. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is alive. And today I want to look at what's the relation between Jesus' resurrection and difficult times. Does anyone here have difficult times? Come on, be honest, people. You're in church. We don't want the roof to fall in here, do we? How many of us have tough times, difficult times? We all do. We all do. And here's Habakkuk. This is the verse that the Lord laid on my heart a couple weeks ago. Now look at this. Though the fig now think about an agrarian society, which means you're a farmer. I'm not sure if we got any farmers here. We got any farmers here? Nope. So we'll have to imagine that we're farmers, okay? So it's an agrarian society. Everything they have, everything depends on their crop and their livestock and things like that. So here's what Habakkuk says. Though the fig tree does not bud. If there's no buds, are there going to be any figs? No. No buds, no figs. And there are no grapes. No grape juice. My cholesterol is going to go up if there's no grape juice. Because every night I drink a proportion. It's one cup of grape juice, half a cup of apple juice, quarter cup of apple cider vinegar. If you have cholesterol problems, it works. I don't know how it works. It just works. So my cholesterol is going to go up. Though the olive crop fails, olives, literally in Israel, if you've got olive trees on your property, you're taxed by the olive tree. They're that important. If you got two trees, you're taxed two trees, two olive trees. And the fields produce no crops, no corn, no wheat, no barley, no nothing. Are we having a good time here? There are no sheep in the pen. And no cattle in the stalls. Let's look at this again. No fig trees, no grapes on the vines, no olive crop, no produce in the fields, no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. This guy's smoking something. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like a deer. He enables me to go on high places. A few weeks ago, we had 30 deer run through our backyard. 30 deer. I can't wait till deer season. Ben can't either. They'll probably all disappear by then. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like a deer. There was even one deer there that had one broken leg, and that deer was still getting around amazingly. You ever see a deer trip and fall? I know they run into fences once in a while, but do you ever see a deer trip and fall? And I've never seen it. Makes my feet like a deer, enables me to go on the heights. Now, it took me a while to find this, so I hope you guys appreciate this. Let's take a closer look. Again, let me read it again. Though the fig trees do not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, there's no sheep in the pens and no cattle in the stalls. So let's just, no figs, no grapes, no olives, no corn, no wheat, no barley, no sheep, no cattle. I think this fits. Talk about a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. And I know that's in quotes because I'm taking that from someone. Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Okay? Everyone with me? Anyone ever, I mean, today we call it kind of a bad hair day. I don't even have enough hair to have a bad hair day. You know what I'm saying? So we're talking about a very, very bad, 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 bad year. Anyone had one of those? Total economic devastation. Complete. You got nothing. You've got nothing. My brother was telling me he was coming home. He landed, his plane landed at when?
2.
2 o'clock. And when did you get home?
10.
How many want that trip? Landed at 2, got home at 10. He was kind of having one of those, how does it go? Terrible, horrible, no good, very bad ride home from the airport. Total economic devastation, yet. Now, this is the Holy Spirit leading this prophet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, because the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on high places. How can this happen? How can this happen? Total devastation, total bad, total wrong. I have no idea what that was. Must be a sign. Preach harder. How can that happen? I guess that's how it happens. How can all this happen? And most of you know that my wife passed away on October 28th, just last year. And I said the other night, I said it was 6 months. Someone counted for me. It's actually 5 months and 4 or 5 days. I had a home, and I went to a house. Easily the most difficult time in my life. Lynette and I dated 8 years. Took me 8 years to convince her to say yes. Any other guys in here take that long? Took that long, 8 years, for her to say yes. We were married 34 years, so it was like 40, 42 years we were together. Junior high, high school, and college. Only girl I've held hands with. Only girl I've ever kissed. She's my only. Talk about a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But it didn't end there. And it doesn't end there. How? And here's how. Because the cross is empty and the tomb is empty. The cross is empty and the tomb is empty. I said this the other night. Lynette walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus was holding her hand, walking her through it, because he already paid the debt. He did it long ago. The cross is empty. He went down. He paid our sin debt. How can all this, how can a terrible, horrible, rotten, no good event like that, how can it be good? Because God is good. Because Jesus is alive. Because the tomb is empty. And I know where my beloved is. I know. I told our last doctor, the one up in Pittsburgh. I said, Doc, you've been 13 years with us in this journey. Can I tell you, can I talk to you about personal things? He's like, sure, you're like family, Jeff. I said, Doc, I'm betting everything on one thing. It's actually one person. It's Jesus. Yeah, we're doing the chemo, we're doing naturalist stuff, we're doing all this stuff. But Doc, I'm betting the farm, I'm betting my wife's life on one person, Jesus. Doc, what are you betting the farm on? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I cheated. I already opened there, so it won't take me very long. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at a couple passages. Actually, we're just going to look in 1 Corinthians 15. It's known as the resurrection passage, and we could read the whole thing, but we're not going to. I'm just going to read a couple different portions. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. If you have my Bible, it's on page 1757. I doubt that you have my Bible. I'm on 1757, beginning in verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can you say that there is no resurrection for the dead. See, there were some people there at Corinth that were saying there is no resurrection, there's no resurrection, there's no resurrection of the dead. And the apostles Paul saying, how can you say that? How can you say that? How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, then we are to be found as false witnesses about God. For we have testified that God, about God, that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see what he's saying there? Some people are saying, you know, there is no resurrection. Well, I can promise you if there's no resurrection, we're to be most pitied of all people. And that's what Paul said. Because everything we believe is a lie. But the reality is, the apostles saw the resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ, and they bet the farm on it. Every single one of them died as a martyr or as a prisoner somewhere. They bet their entire life on it. Would you bet your life on a lie? Not likely. And so Paul goes on. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. In verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes through one man. For in Adam all die. This hit me the other day really hard. I just finished up all the stuff in Lynette's thing. You know, it's finalized. And I finally filled out the paperwork and paid the money to remove her name off the deed. And I began to tell the person, you know, I need to do this if I die so that my kids don't have to do it. And it hit me. I said, excuse me, when I die, I don't want my kids to have to go through all this stuff. So I'm putting the will together and doing all that stuff because we didn't have a will for Lynette and that kind of stuff. It just hit me there in their office. I said, if. I'm like, oh my goodness. It's not if, it's when. When? Are you still living in if land? Are you living in if land or are you living in when land? Because in when land, we are going to die. But you know what the good news is? Jesus died so that we will live even though we die. You know, Jesus, Lynette's body died. It died in that room. But she's not in that room. She's not in that grave. She's with the Lord. And she is because the grave is empty. Because of the resurrection. And it's finally hitting me. It's not if I die. It's when I die. So are you living in if land or when land? I know it's a guy thing. We think we're indestructible, right? That's why we do all the dumb stuff we do. For since death came through one man, and resurrection of the dead comes also through one man, for in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. First Jesus raises from the dead, then those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and powers. for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. You see, Jesus is the first fruits, and Jesus conquered death. As I said it the other night, you know, Lynette was in a procedure, and I think that during that procedure, she died. And there was two more days in the hospital, and I read to her, I talked to her, told her scripture as though she was there. But in my heart of hearts, I believe the Lord walked her home from that operating room. And I knew it because Jesus conquered death. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus died, was buried, went down into literally Hades, and was resurrected again. As Trevor was spot on this morning, all the demons and Satan, they were rejoicing and thinking that they won. And then Jesus comes to life. What a turnover. What a turnover. Can you imagine the look on Satan's face? He thought he won. He thought he won. He thought he killed the Son of God, only for Jesus to come back to life. See, the reality is, there can't be a resurrection unless there's a what? There has to be a death. Unless a kernel falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a kernel. But if it dies, it can come to new life again. My dear brothers and sisters, are you living in if land or when land? Jesus, the first fruits, he conquered death. He conquered death so that you could have life eternal. But eternal life doesn't just begin when we die. It begins here and now. It begins here and now. It begins here and now. When I was a kid, I attended church all my life. I just turned 59 also. Well, that was a couple weeks ago. I turned 59. I've been in an Alliance Church 59 years and 9 months. Everyone understand that? I've said it many times. And I honestly believe most of my life attending a church that eternal life begins at death. It doesn't. It begins now. Jesus died to give us the abundant life now. And let me just ask you, when you had your last terrible, horrible, rotten, very bad day, how was it? Were you alone? Did you face that alone? Or was Jesus with you? Now that day when Jesus died, when Lynette died, it wasn't a fun day. I had a hard time talking. I could hardly talk. But I knew where she was. And I wasn't alone. I had two friends that came too. Andrew came. And what's your name again, dude? Chris, the worship leader. Our worship leader. Chris, what is your name? Those two guys came. They'll tell you, I couldn't talk a whole lot. But I knew where she was. I knew she wasn't alone. I know that even though I couldn't be holding her hand, he was. He was. That's why we're here. That's why we believe. Because we're never alone. Let me ask you again, on your last horrible, rotten, terrible, very bad, no good day, were you all alone? You don't have to be. You don't have to be. Jesus came so that we would never be alone again. And I'm saying this somewhat selfishly. None of this is in the notes. I'm saying this somewhat selfishly. And I don't want you to receive Christ selfishly, but if that's what it takes, go for it. Because when I was 11 years old, I was scared into heaven. I was sitting right back there in the back pew. And after that preacher was done, I knew that if I died, I was heading straight into H-E double hockey sticks. We weren't even allowed to say the word. I left there and I came right down to the front. I came to this front of the church and I kneeled and prayed, and the preacher came over, who was a guest evangelist, and he prayed with me, and I prayed the sinner's prayer. And there's no magic in that. It was my heart. I know that I'm a sinner. And then he had us turn around to the whole congregation and confess, I'm a sinner, but I just prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I am so thankful. I did not like that. It was not fun. It was very embarrassing. It was humiliating. It was humbling. And it was one of the best things that ever, ever, ever happened to me. Because I have no doubt. I can close my eyes and see it. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and I've never been alone since then. Even when it felt like I was alone, I look back and I realize I wasn't alone. Because sometimes on those terrible, horrible, rotten, very bad, no good days, sometimes it feels like you're alone, but you're not if you have Jesus in your life. And now the next passage of Scripture. I know I'm going off track here, but 1 Corinthians 15. Now we're going to look at the end of what he says. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable. Let me look at that again. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that has been written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. One day, when the Lord comes back, Lynette will start up there first. And then if I'm still alive, we who are alive will be caught up together in the air with them. So what about the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad times? You see, Scripture says there's weeping might remain for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Weeping may come. And I've cried a lot of tears. But rejoicing comes in the morning. I know where my Lynette is. She's in the presence of the Lord. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. My accountability partner sent me this poem. He wasn't sure if he should give it to me or not. I thought of you today, but that is nothing new. I thought of you yesterday and the days before that too. I think about you in silence. I often speak your name. All I have is memories and your picture in a frame. Your memory is a keepsake from which I'll never part. God has you in his arms, and I have you in my heart. My dear brothers and sisters, in the terrible, horrible, rotten, no good days, Jesus is with us. The tomb is empty. There may be weeping in the night, but there's joy in the morning. I can tell you on this most difficult journey I've ever been on, God is good. God is good because the tomb is empty. I am never alone. It may feel like it sometimes, but I'm not. Because Jesus Christ died for my sin, for our sins. And all we need to do is put our trust in him. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, my friends, some of you I don't even know. Let me just ask you, how is it on those horrible, terrible, rotten, no good, very bad days? Jesus came so that you wouldn't have to face those alone. I know that normally Easter is bright and cheery and happy. It is for me. Because in the midst of the most horrible, terrible, rotten, no good, very bad day, Jesus was with me. And he's with you. And I want all of you to have that. I want all of you to know what that last God has Lynette in his arms. I have her in my heart. Dad in heaven has her in his arms. You know, Lynette walked through the valley of the shadow of death. If you know Jesus Christ, that's what's going to happen. He will walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. But if you do not know Jesus, you're going to live in that valley. And it won't be a shadow. Jesus talked more about H-E double hockey sticks. Is everyone with me on that? Can everyone spell that? Jesus spoke more about that than he even did about heaven. Because it's a real place. It's a real place. Jesus would not have died on the cross if it wasn't a real place. He died on the cross so that we would not need to face that. So my dear brothers and sisters, are you still living in if land? And, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Because I didn't tell you what happened that when I was 11 years old. I was convicted on Wednesday night. And I said, tomorrow. Anyone ever do that? Then the next night came, Thursday night. Oh my goodness, Thursday night. And again, being the wise sage that I am, I'll do it tomorrow night. That night, I had dreams and nightmares. I didn't sleep all night long. Now, this is a kid that grew up in the church. You know, I'd been in the church all my life, plus 9 months. I could not sleep. Friday night, I don't even know what the preacher preached on. All I know was, as soon as he said the altar's open, I ran down to the front. Because I knew that if I died without Jesus, I would spend an eternity without God. I would spend eternity in darkness and punishment and everlasting fire and brimstone, the scriptures say. But because I humbled myself and I knew I had to go down front, because I tend to be a proud, arrogant kind of guy, hard-headed, proud and arrogant, the Lord had me go down front, and that preacher knew enough to have me pray the sinner's prayer and then turn around to the whole congregation and say, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. And I confess that I just asked Jesus into my heart. That old country preacher knew exactly what needed to happen with this proud, arrogant 11-year-old. Now, you probably have 11-year-olds. You don't have any that are proud or arrogant, do you? But I was. That was the most important decision of my life. The second one was to pester her for 8 years. That was the second best decision. But the first decision was to ask Jesus into my heart. And Lynette had a similar testimony. She was just 5 years old. And she asked her mom, and her mom led her to Jesus. And because of that, there's victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when the day comes, I know where I'm heading. How about you? How about you? It's only a prayer away, a sincere prayer of the heart. Father, please forgive me. Father, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me. Please be my Savior. That's all it takes. It's all it takes. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dad in heaven, I thank you that even when, as the prophet said, there's no figs, there's no olives, there are no crops, there are no sheep and no cattle, on that horrible, terrible, rotten, no good day, very bad day, very bad year, yet, I will rejoice because of your work on the cross, Jesus. I thank you that this resurrection day, we can rejoice and celebrate. Yes, there's times that crying is in the night, but joy comes in the morning because you are there, Jesus. Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here that has not put their trust in you, or maybe there's some people here that have at one point but have kind of ignored it and have been trying to live their own lives and not doing a very good job of it, just like I can't do a good job of it, I need you. We need you. Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here like that, please draw them to yourself. And Holy Spirit and Lord Jesus, if there's someone here that is walking that journey right now, that is very difficult. It's a horrible, terrible, rotten, very bad time. Holy Spirit, please just reveal yourself. Jesus, reveal yourself to those. May they sense your presence. May they sense that they will never be alone. That you are in control. Because of your death, your burial, because you paid our sin debt, we will never have to be alone. Please meet that person here and now. And for those of us who are walking in intimacy, I ask that you would draw us into an even deeper intimacy with you. Please meet every single person here this morning. Meet them as only you can, and draw each of us, including myself, to yourself. Please. Please, Holy Spirit, come. Come and draw us. And to further draw us to yourself, we thank you for the Last Supper. We thank you for communion. We thank you for the Eucharist. this way to remember what you did. That night in which you were betrayed, you took bread, you blessed it, and gave it. And you instructed us to do likewise when we gather together. I ask, even now, Father in heaven, please bless this bread and bless this cup. Just as you did over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, you blessed the bread and blessed the cup, and it impacted Jesus and his disciples in wonderful and marvelous ways. I ask that you would do the very same here and now. Please, powerfully come. Meet each one of us wherever we are and draw us to yourself. Please. Abba, Father, I ask these things, and I ask them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. Amen.